Acts of the Apostles, chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour, and a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up. Immediately his feet and his ankles were made strong. Leaping up, he stood and he began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. All the people saw him walking and praising God, and they recognized him as one who had sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While he clung to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astounded, ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate, when he had decided to release him. But you had denied the Holy and Righteous One and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. And you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this we are witnesses. And his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom ye see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold the mouth of all the prophets, that Christ would suffer, and has thus fulfilled. Repent, therefore, turn back, that your sins may be blotted out." Amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, this is your word that is before us, and what can we say? We thank you. Father, within this word is found immense grace and immense power, and you have not changed. And we praise and we thank you for that. We ask that you would sanctify us in this word, because, Father, we know your word is truth. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So we talk about the Acts of the Apostles, and it's actually a very beautiful book because it's really showing the church moving forward. It's showing the establishment of the church and also the power that goes along with the church. And this is a beautiful example. Because back in this day, there was definitely some struggles. There were people that were going through many different miseries. We saw that in the ministry of Christ Jesus upon earth, that he definitely had the power over all of these issues. And so sometimes that turns around in our lives, and I got to stop saying turn around. I was brought up on that. We take the moment and we understand that though Christ had that power, we think that it's ended when he left this earth. But when he gives the power of the Holy Spirit, he speaks to us in the fashion of, "You will now have this power. You will have this ability." And I don't know if we realize that. I don't know if we live in that power. Jesse often kind of wanes back and forth. Some days he feels, "Oh boy, you know, God's really on my side." And some days he feels like, "Oh boy, I haven't done so well." Well, that is predicated upon me. But it's not about me. It's about him and his ability to commit to what he has started, to see it through. Now, Christ Jesus, we know, he went to the cross. He laid down his life. He gave it up for the world. We understand by the accounts of the scripture that he was resurrected and that he was seen by many. And he shows that he is over hell, death, and the devil, that he is victorious. And now, because his tomb is empty, we also have an empty tomb. We live in victory. And we very straightforward come out and say, by grace through faith. It's a gift of God. It's not a merit system. It's not something we can work towards. It's not something that I can check off the right boxes as I would and say, well, now I've earned it. I haven't earned anything. You haven't earned anything. But God loves you. And he gives it to you. See, I said this text is full of grace, and we may not understand that. Pastor, show me where it's full of grace. There's a lot of religious societies out there that would tell you you've got to earn things. You've got to work your way up. You've got to have so many steps. How many souls have you saved? How many works have you done? How much gifts have you given? How many, you know, buildings have you built? How many doors have you knocked on? That's not grace. And I'm not saying there's not a work that we won't do. Because we are Christians, we will bring forth fruit, but we don't do the works to become a Christian. There'll be works. That follows in the Spirit. But this text, even with this man, where does he ask to be healed? Where is he trying to gain something except for alms, sustenance? This text permeates of grace. Well, that may not be good enough for you about the man that is sitting there begging. What about really when Peter turns around and gives this description of what they did to Christ's child? How does he end that whole dialogue? With grace. You killed him. But you did it in ignorance. You didn't know what you were doing. Does that not echo the words of Christ Jesus, Father, forgive them because they know not what they do? Our God is a God of grace. Yes, of righteousness, no doubt about it, but that righteousness is an imputed righteousness to us in and through Christ Jesus. Peter and John, they didn't quit doing what they did. See, this is what we often do. When we come to the truth of Jesus Christ, we figure we write off everybody else and we go do our thing. In fact, I'll say as independent contractors and apostolic Lutherans, if we don't like what someone else is doing, we'll build a new building and do it ourselves. Think I'm crazy? Look at all our churches. But the point of it is that these guys are still doing what they were called to do by Christ Jesus. They were going to the temple. They were entering into this area to pray. And this gives an opportunity for them to minister to the people that need it immensely. Because this building was full of people that thought they knew God. But even Jesus himself says they didn't. Peter and John were going up into the temple in the hour of prayer, about 3 in the afternoon, if we could say. And he says, there was a lame man. And this is very important because now Luke brings this into more detail for us. He says, he was lame from birth. This wasn't a temporary injury. This man was lame from birth. He was born into this issue. He had no ability to help himself out of it. Have you ever been born into an issue? I have. I was undone in my own works. I was born into an issue. I had no ability to help myself. But thanks be to God, he didn't leave us in that strait, did he? This man was born into this. And so now he was carried to the gate. This is basically on the east side, the gate Beautiful. And he would ask for alms. And he was basically begging for gifts to survive. This is what this brings out. Alms sounds very pretty. It's more or less of a gift that he's looking for. He had no way to earn a living. He was not a productive person in society. He had no means to help himself. He couldn't even get there on his own. And they would take and carry him there. And they would leave him there that he would beg to be able to get his sustenance for the day. Can you imagine going through this? How humbling this would be if I was to have to come to your house and actually take you and me and, you know, maybe Steve, because he's more rugged than I am, and he'd carry you down to Crystal Oil and you sit on the street right there and you ask people that are coming in, please give me some money. That brings it into a little more perspective. But you do this every day because you had no means to help yourself. Even to get to the place of begging, someone had to help you. And so when he was there and he was asking for these alms, he sees Peter and John. So they're coming towards him. And they were going into the temple. And he asked, can you spare something? Alms for the poor. And I think it's so awesome. Because sometimes in life when we see something that disturbs us, we have a tendency to do what? Look away. You see somebody that's begging, especially when we just got back from Florida, a lot of places like that, there's a lot of people sitting right on the curb when you go into the stores. And how many times would Jesse pretend he didn't see him? I don't know that guy. That's what we do as human beings sometimes. I'm not blanket statementing everybody, but we have a tendency to pretend we don't see it. We do that with a lot of social problems in our nation, don't we? But he's asking for alms, and it says very straightforward, Peter looked at him. That's important. To actually take notice of somebody. How is it? Even when you're talking to somebody, especially Jesse when he's really busy and he's trying to get 14 things done at once and you come up and talk to me, how would you feel if I just kept looking everywhere else? I think for one thing, you would feel that I don't matter. But Jesse doesn't think I matter. He's not listening to me. He's not focused upon me. You know how it is. You're sitting there talking to your friend and they keep looking at their watch. You're like, well, am I taking up your time? Peter looks directly at him. He contacts with him. And this is exactly how the ministry of Christ was. Christ was very direct with his people because he was not afraid of them. He wasn't embarrassed of them. He actually embraced them where they were at. Peter made this individual feel important. Maybe important's not a good word, but he made him feel validated. He was looking at. He was, still important is not bad. He was important. He looks at him. And then he says, look at us. Why would you say that? Because when you focus on somebody and you intently look at them and they feel very inadequate, one of their first reactions is to do what? To look away. Maybe it's shame. Maybe it's intimidation. But Peter doesn't want that. Peter wants him to feel his validation. He wants him to see that he's looking directly at him. God wants us to see him. And he looks directly at each and every one of us in our circumstance and in our struggle. And we are his child. Don't pretend you don't know what I'm talking about, especially parents. When you're trying to talk to your children, what is one of the first things you say? Look at me when I'm talking to you. I want you to see me. Because it's not just about hearing the words. It's actually feeling what I have to say to you. The love, the comfort, whatever it may be. Even the correction. Keep your attention upon me. These guys are not acting any differently than Christ Jesus, because it is the power of Christ Jesus through the power of the Holy Spirit that's working through them. And he wants him. Peter wants this lame man to understand and know that God sees him. God sees us. And he knows the circumstance that we're in. So he says very plainly, look upon us. And then he fixes his attention on them. But yet he now is expecting what? To receive a gift. Oh, he's going to get one. But not anything he thought he'd get. He thought he'd get a trinket, like a silver coin or maybe a copper coin or something. That's often how we are. Imagine if we could get something way better than monetary. We could get life. He's expecting to receive something from them. But Peter, he says, I don't have silver or gold. That's not how I'm operating here. I don't have silver or gold. He says, but what I actually do have, he says, I'm going to give to you. Can you imagine that? Have you ever had this happen? I remember one time I was up in Calumet, and I was going into Pat's Foods up there, whatever that one's called. And this was about 2 years ago, and I was going out to Lutty, so I stopped there to get some food. And this young man came up to me, and he asked me if I had some money. I think those are opportunities. They're opportunities. This kid was probably around 17 to 19, somewhere in that range. And it would be easier to say no and just keep walking. But it's an opportunity to speak with somebody. And I looked at the young man, and he looked very familiar to me. And so anyways, I said, well, I actually don't have any money. I said, well, I guess I do have some money, but I don't carry cash hardly ever. This is the debit, you know. In fact, beggars should start getting a little swipey thing, and then we can help them a little more. But I always carry a $2 bill in my wallet. It's a $2 bill. And I asked Judy when she worked at the credit union, always save me the $2 bills. Because when someone asks you for money and you hand them a $2 bill, it gets their attention. And so I went in my little side pocket and I pulled this $2 bill out and I gave it to him. And he looked at me and he said, this is a special bill. And I said, yes. I said, and we have a special God who cares about each and every one of us. So I want you to think about that every time you see a $2 bill. We have an opportunity to minister, even in those situations. Whoa, Pastor, he could have bought cigarettes with that $2. Not really. You need a couple more of those to do that. But who cares? It was an opportunity to minister. It wasn't wasted. And I pray every time that young man sees a $2 bill that he'll remember he has a special God that watches over him. This guy was expecting to receive something. And Peter says, we don't have silver and gold, but that's not really your problem. And see, this is the whole thing. Do we recognize that? With this layman, we don't need to look out into the audience. We don't need to look in Calumet or wherever else we're serving. Do we see in this situation, money was not his real problem? And too many times in our life, we think financial is our problem. It's not. My father told me that years ago. He said, money's not your problem. I thought he was nuts, because I told him if I just had $50,000, it'd fix everything. And he was absolutely right. I learned years later, money's not the problem. Contentment is a huge issue for people. We overspend, we overfinance, we do all these things because we want more, 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 more. But money is not always the problem. It's being content in who you are and what you have. It's not how much money you make. Very earthly, I'll say, it's how much you spend. That's always been my problem. But money wasn't this guy's problem. What was his problem? He was lame. And it's not that he couldn't tell a good joke. It's that he couldn't walk. That was the problem. And he expected a temporary fix for a situation. But Peter and John had a much more permanent fix and a much more glorifying fix. And this is what God is trying to say to us, even through this text. Your problem are not these external things. Your problem in reality is, do you know Christ? And that's what we need to speak to the world. And that's what we need to speak in our congregations. And that's what we need to speak in our own hearts. Do I know God holds me in the palm of his hands? Do I understand, no matter what this world throws at us, no matter what may be taking place, that God holds me? We learn that going through trial. We learn that going through circumstances. But do we learn that and understand that through victory? Do we know how truly blessed we are? He said, I don't have silver and gold, but what I do have, I'm going to give to you. Yes, Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters in Christ, that's what changes people. You can throw all the money you want at problems and they don't go away. But one that comes to faith, their life is transformed from the inside out. He says, we don't have silver and gold, but what we do have, he says, we'll give to you. He says, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, get up and walk. Can you imagine if anyone was listening? What are they, nuts? This guy's been carried here for year after year, begging every day. But Peter, he focuses on the man again, and he grabs him in the right hand of power, and he lifts him up. He lifts him up. Brothers and sisters in Christ, you may think I'm crazy, but we still have this ability. Yeah, I said it. We have ability in and through Jesus Christ to lift people up above their adversity. This is the proclamation of the church. Doesn't mean our problems go away. But we overcome these issues in and through Christ Jesus. And he has given us a whole army of workers to help. Peter and John were willing to go there. Peter and John were willing, in the power of the Holy Spirit, to look at this man and make him validated. They also desired that he would see them. And when he saw them, they pronounced to him something greater than any monetary value, that in Christ Jesus, you can overcome all these things. Pastor makes it sound like you're preaching a prosperity gospel. It's not a prosperity gospel. This man still died. This man still is not with us to this day because his body gave out. But it shows us that we can overcome difficulties and circumstances in our life by Christ Jesus. This is a great and bold example of how someone that had no ability to contribute in society was able, by the power of Christ Jesus and in the faith of that power, to enter back into that society. Now, it doesn't mean that anyone we touch is going to be lifted up and going to walk again. But can they see, by the power of the Holy Spirit and by the love of God shown to them through the love of the saints, that no matter what position they have, whether seated or standing, that they can serve him and they can live above their circumstance? Pastor Jay used to say it all the time, that we learn we can suffer in Christ and do it well. Brothers and sisters in Christ, are we doing it well? Are we going through adversity? Are we going through struggle? Or are we walking alongside other people that are going through adversity and struggle? And are we living above the circumstance in Christ? We all have one. We all have one. One of my greatest ones as earthly is having dyslexia. Even my own birth father tells me, I can't believe that you read scripture. I know I don't read great. But the fact that I can do it at all is a blessing of Christ through diversity, for overcoming diversity or struggles. I may not get my words right either. But you know. So he takes him up and it says that he was strengthened instantly. Because when God does a work, he does it complete. And this is an amazing thing, because you know how it is when you're sitting Indian style on the floor for a while and your legs are numb and this and that. You can't walk right away. It's like, well, I got to get my bearings. The older you get, guys, especially you younger kids, you wouldn't believe how you start hobbling from the bed. But this guy springs up and walks, showing a complete work by the power of God. And when he goes into the temple, people are amazed. See, because God's testimony is out there to amaze people, to show people that he is greater than the adversity out there. That's the word I was looking for, adversity. And they're amazed. But then they start to look at the servants, because that's what we often do. When we see something done, we want to honor that man that maybe had a working in it. And it's amazing because Peter and John, they turn around and they say, why are you looking at us? We're not all that. We don't have any more gift than you. The only gift we have is Christ Jesus. That's what gives us the ability. And that's what we need to understand as Christians, that maybe we see a lot of struggle out there. We see a lot of difficulty. We may see people that we think, oh boy, they're not so cool. But the fact of it is, the only difference between maybe myself and them is Christ. And if they were but to know Christ, how much more could they do? They said, don't look to us. It's all about Christ. And you guys, you didn't understand it a while ago, to the point where you actually crucified him. He said, but you did it in ignorance. But you're not ignorant anymore. Because you're seeing the effectual workings of the church. You're seeing the power of God right before your eyes. So what are you to do? Surrender. Turn from yourself. Turn from your thought and look fully in the face of Christ Jesus. He says, and you know what? God will make you perfect. That's what he desires. To blot out our sin. To make us perfect. We have a hard time seeing that, don't we? Because we have a tendency, not only in other people, to see imperfection, but we have a tendency to see it in ourselves. Don't look here. Don't stare at other people. Look to him. Because that's how that man was able to see, and that's how this man is able to walk in the finished work of Jesus Christ. We are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus who loved us. I'm not preaching prosperity, but I am preaching truth. We can overcome anything in and through Christ Jesus. We will get through this next year. We will see those golden shores. And these people that we prayed for, by the power of the Holy Spirit, they will see their loved ones once again. May we be encouraged by that. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. Let's unite our hearts in a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we praise and we thank you for this opportunity to hear of such a powerful moment where you act independently of our thoughts, and you give graciously to those that but look. Father, allow our eyes to see. Allow our hearts to be changed, and allow us to glorify you. Now, Lord, bless us and keep us. The Lord make his face to shine upon us and be gracious unto us. Lord, lift his countenance upon us and give us everlasting peace. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.